Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
It is November the 18th. I want you to think about this. We are 10 days away from Thanksgiving. On this great November the 18th, we're talking about the Oregon Ducks football program being in the college football playoff conversation. We're talking about Oregon State being in a bowl game conversation. We're talking about the Trailblazers adding Carmelo Anthony. They're kind of interesting. I would say we have it pretty good in our sports market. There have been years where the Blazers were bad and the Ducks weren't relevant and Oregon State wasn't relevant, where at this point of the year, everybody has turned their focus towards a burning question. Is it too early to put up the Christmas lights? And instead, we're focused on, are they going to get in the playoffs? Are they going to make a bowl game? What is Carmelo Anthony going to do with this roster? I would say we have it pretty good as a sports market. Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, will be with us right off the top of the show today. He will check in early on this Monday, and we will talk to him about a number of things. I put a call out on Twitter. You should be following me, at John Canzano BFT. I put the call out, and I asked for questions for Mario Cristobal. Like, if you have a question for Mario Cristobal, I'm going to ask one listener question. Somebody tweets me a question, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you think I should ask the Oregon Ducks football coach. I'll ask him one listener question. He's coming up later in the show. Dave Bartu, the college football matrix. See, Dave Bartu crunches the numbers. Nobody better on the playoff. There's nobody better in front of the playoff committee selection announcement on Tuesday than Dave Bartu. Found out today he's hanging out on a boat scuba diving. Not really, but that's what he told me, and because it's radio, I think he thinks I believe it. But Bartu's going to join us in front of the announcement of the playoff selection committee, and he's going to tell us what they are going to announce on Tuesday. Who's in, who's out. I saw the Ducks on Saturday night. I thought they looked good, bordered on very good. Justin Herbert made a few nice throws. The defense continues to amaze me because the sum is greater than the parts. Like, you look at them and you go, all right, who's going to play in the NFL here for sure on this roster? And I'm left at, like, Javon Holland for sure. And then maybe Troy Dye, maybe, but not in the current. He's not going to play middle linebacker in the NFL, but maybe he plays, makes a roster. And maybe Kayvon Thibodeau makes a roster in a few years. He's got a lot of growth to do, but maybe he gets there. And then I look at the defense, and I'm like, they kind of play really good collectively, which is impressive to me, given that Andy Avalos, the defensive coordinator, got there in the spring. Where is Mario Cristobal going to be when he calls in here? And by the way, if you were going to lie to me and tell me you were somewhere, because Dave Bartu earlier, I called him. I said, where are you? He said, I'm scuba diving. I got a scuba instructor who's super hot. And then he said, really, I'm in my PJs, and I'm working on something. I said, I don't need that. Just tell me that you're in the Florida Keys scuba diving. Where would you say you were, Alabama Adrian? If you were going to lie to me today, and I said, where are you? Where are you?
A believable lie or not so much?
Wherever.
Probably at the beach in Destin. That's where I'd like to be.
I've been to Destin.
Yeah,
white
really,
sand, beautiful warm water,
yeah.
Gulf Coast of Florida.
Yep.
It reminds me of the houses from, like, the Truman Show. That's what it reminds me of. Peter Sampson, where would you be?
Tuscany. Just hanging out, drinking some wine, looking at the beautiful
rolling
hills.
Sorry to bother you at this hour, Peter Sampson.
Yeah, you're big time. I got 15 minutes for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, where would I be?
I'd be right here in this radio studio. I'm not going to lie. This is my happy place. I close the door. I'm alone in this studio, alone with 60,000 listeners and one successful football coach. Mario Cristobal joining us now, Oregon Ducks football coach. How are you?
Doing well, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Like, I was asking people, you know, because I talked to a guy earlier today, and I said, where are you? And he said, I'm scuba diving on a boat somewhere. And he said he really wasn't scuba diving, but he gave me that as his happy place that he would be, like, mentally, if he could go on a vacation for a couple hours. Where would that place be for you?
I kind of like this right now.
See?
I do.
See?
I like this.
I said the same damn thing.
We're still in the submarine, you know? We're still, you know, under doing our thing.
I like that. You're in the submarine. Is that what it feels like? Because you're kind of down there. You got your guys. You got your coaches. You got the periscope up.
I think so, because I always hear that family and friends came to town to visit me, and I never see them. They just were here. They'll leave a note or a picture, a selfie at my house. But, okay. Glad you had a good time. See you. You know, so, yeah, I like this. I love the season, man. I love every part of it.
You look like you're having fun, too, and I think, you know, I've seen a lot of teams that don't know how to celebrate. You guys know how to celebrate. When you guys win a game, there's joy on the field after the game.
Well, you got to, because, I mean, they know the window for celebrating is short. You know, by the time our plane rolls out of a place or by the time we walk out of the locker room, they know we're moving on. So in those moments, from the end of the game to the locker room, then around family and friends, it's important. It has to be done, and then you just roll on to the next one.
All right, I got a lot of football-related questions. Some might impress you. Some might make you think, here's another dumb media member asking me a question. But let's start with pass protection. What are your running backs doing in pass protection? And have you considered dropping the running backs from pass protection and getting them out on the pattern more?
Well, we whiffed on one of the this commonplace pressures, right, where the offensive line was walking all five line of scrimmage guys. And what kind of stinks about it is that earlier done a great job just meeting them flush at the line of scrimmage, playing with a good base, feeding the ground, hands inside. But we whiffed on one. And on the other one was it was a mental mistake. You know, it was just a flat-out mental mistake. And the third one was an RPO gone wrong, so that's really nobody's fault. That just kind of happened. But, no, I think that it's important to have them. I think it's important to always have your tight ends involved in protection as well, the quarterback being very educated and just completely clear on where his help is, how many guys does he have in on every single play. And go from there. But we do free release the back a lot too now. And then it's a built-in hot, right? It's a built-in hot or built-in tight, whatever you have. So we mix them up both.
Are you impressed that I noticed that?
That's an outstanding question.
I wanted to start with that because I'm just going to be downhill from there. But I love the flea flicker. It's like a double reverse pass. And I went back and looked. I think the ball from Herbert to the receiver was 62 yards in the air.
Yeah, that's one for the old schoolers that love watching, you know, the old school Steelers play, right? You know, end around, double reverse, pitch it back, shot to either Benny Cunningham, one of the John Stallworth down the field. Very, very well executed, good design by Marcus, and really good execution by the player. Protection was really good, too. But the action itself helps protection, right? Guys can't find the ball, their eyes leave them all over the place. But that throw and catch, man, that was special.
Yeah, big time all the way around. That one needed Howard Cosell and Monday Night Football music behind it.
On the money.
Everyone wants to talk to you about the playoff and the selection committee. I'm not going to talk about that because I just don't think that there's anything
you can do about it.
You can't do anything about it. What are you going to say? Yeah, we got to be focused. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. I mean, you have to go 1-0 this week.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's a broken record, but in the right kind of way. I really do believe I would be unrecognizable to our players or anyone in the building if, like, I uttered anything aside from being 1-0 for the week. So the understanding is clear with our guys. The focus is strong. And, you know, really, we just got to keep getting better every week.
There is a lot going on your campus. You got two basketball programs that are really good. And we got a chance to watch that women's basketball thing. I noticed that you pop up once in a while at games. And I know that's not in your football duties, but is there a fan in you, or is it you're just trying to show some support for the other operations on campus? What's that about?
It's everything. I mean, I'm a fan. I like supporting the others. I learn. I mean, I guess watching sports in general, we have a couple of unbelievable coaches, men's and women's basketball. And, I mean, I show up at practice sometimes too over there just to pick up nuggets, right? I mean, just sound bites, anything that could be useful because, I mean, look at all the overlaps in terms of, let's say, playing man-to-man on defense and, you know, playing basketball, right, in terms of hips, in terms of bending at the knees, you know, playing with a base, with balance and body control. I'm just a big fan. I mean, a big fan and a supporter.
Mario Cristobal with us, Oregon Ducks football coach. The kicking game, it's shaky right now. And can you fix that in the course of the season, or where is your mind on that?
No, I felt good up until, you know, what happened in the game because we had been really, really good. We put our guys in, like, really stressful, high heart rate situations in practice. We've been nailing them. I'm talking about the difficult ones, too, you know, putting them at plus 48 and out. And on Saturday, we weren't very good. So, you know, it's an open competition throughout the course of the week. I do have a lot of confidence in both guys, you know, because, you know, Cam has done really well. And you know, his backup, Cattleman, has also done really well. So I was shocked on Saturday, but yeah. not discouraged. So it's just back to work and see how it looks this week and make a decision from there.
How do you, because when that happens, when you're in that close, you decide, hey, let's get the points here. Kid misses the kick. It happens. It happens in the NFL. But when that guy comes to the sideline, how do you, because you got to get worried about his psyche, how do you give him a pat on the back while inside you're going, damn it, make the kick?
I was too upset with the offense to even get to him, you know, because really we were in four down territory, but when we went from the one to the three, you know, you'd rather make the three score game. It's just, you know, percentage wise, it's the better call, at least for us it is. So I was more of, hey, man, you get the ball at the 1 yard line, you know, you're not coming back out unless you score. And, but you know, it's kicking is such a mental thing. I hate, you know, having the ball in the left hash down there so close because there is an angle to it. And, you know, that's why at Washington State, or against Washington State, it was so critical to get the ball right in the middle of the field to make that thing a, you know, surefire shot. So, but no, I think with those guys, I think, you know, anything but support while being stern at the same time and holding guys accountable, I think anything aside from that is just noise pollution.
The, you know, there's a lot of talk about when kids should play football. You've got two sons who look like they're going to be football players. I know you have them doing flag football. At what point do the Cristobal kids play tackle football?
As soon as they're ready, as soon as they want to. I have absolutely no reservations about playing it. I think the lessons learned, the risk-reward factors weigh and are tilted towards the reward side of it. And fully knowing that, you know, with football, there does, you know, there are some, you know, potential issues that come up. So there's no reservation about at what age they'll go into, and you know, hopefully I could put some more weight on them, man. I mean, I'm battling like the Skittles / Reese's peanut butter cup diet right now.
Yeah,
get some real food in their bodies.
We can't keep the kids at the dinner table. We can't keep them in their seats.
Yeah, we've gone to push-up regimen. Some jump squat regimen stuff that's really helped us get away from the iPad a little bit.
Mario Cristobal is with us. The defense, I continue to be impressed, first of all, that Andy Avalos shows up in the spring and has just one spring to put his scheme in, and it looks like the guys are grasping it. But I also feel like I look at the guys on defense, I look at your 11 players, and I go, okay, who's a no-brainer NFL guy? Javon Holland's going to play in the NFL. Everybody else, I think there's question marks with a lot of those guys, and yet they really play well together as a unit, like really well together. What's going on defense that's working?
Well, I think two things. Number one, you know, Andy actually got here a week before spring ball, so it was chaotic. We actually pushed back ball, I think, 2 or 3 days just to be able to at least have our base concepts organized and conceptualized for our coaches to be able to teach. That's the most difficult part, right? Changing lingo, language, and be able to teach effectively. But that being said, I do believe, this is where I differ in opinion with you, I do believe we have a significant amount of NFL talent. It's just young.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, we may not have the household names yet, but I think as the season goes on, these guys continue to get evaluated and graded. There's going to be more guys than not having NFL opportunities. And they've just taken ownership of the thing. And John, you've seen what it looks like when a particular unit just takes a hold of it and says, it's ours. and we're taking it. And that's what they've done. I think the best thing to do is just take a look at some of the tempo plays this past weekend and look at the level of urgency of communication that was taking place. These guys were, like, on it, man. I mean, it looked like having 11 coaches on the field just getting after each other and getting after it and pushing their own tempo to get lined up correctly and play fast. So really proud of those guys, man. They're fun to watch.
You have an opportunity to go play Herm Edwards in Arizona State this week. What do you see on film from Herm Edwards?
Well, defensively, they cause a lot of issues now because 40% of the time they're stunning, they're bringing pressure. ETs, TEs, NTs, you know, their defensive front, it's a wide variety now. You'll get from the odd to the odd stack to the odd tight to four down under, four down over, a mixed bag of pressures. You've got secondary pressures, you've got corner fires, you've got your cross blitzes. So they'll challenge you. They're not going to give you much. They're going to make sure you earn every yard you get, and they're going to try to create negative plays, put some bad down distance situations. And then offensively, I think just overall, their team, in my opinion, is as talented as any team in the Pac-12. They've got, you know, guys that can make you miss and take it to the house at wide receiver.
Yep.
We all know about their running back. The guy's going to be an excellent NFL player. Runs hard, man. Hard, low center of gravity, downhill. Hard to tackle guy. Runs behind a very tough offensive line. The quarterback, both quarterbacks, actually. I mean, those guys, for young quarterbacks, even if they weren't young, those guys are talented guys that extend plays, are accurate with the football. They can make the touch throws, the quick game, the adjustments, the screens, and they can take off with the ball and beat you with their legs as well. So it's got a very talented and dangerous football team, and we got to be at our very best to have an opportunity.
Somebody in my neighborhood put their Christmas lights up already. Is it too soon?
Wow. What's the date today?
We're on the 18th of November.
We're in November, huh?
Feels like a false start to me.
You're talking to the wrong guy, because, like, back home, like, the Cubans, like, they'll leave them up all year. Like, it saves them the trouble doing it the next year. So you'll see Christmas lights up, like, for July 4th. So.
I appreciate you, man. I will see you in Arizona, and good luck to you this weekend.
Okay, man. Thanks. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
There's Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach. Okay, confession. It's my house that has the Christmas lights up. Had to do it. I was looking at the time that I have available. I got a college football game this weekend. Then comes Thanksgiving. Then it's a Civil War. Then it's going to be the Pac-12 championship game. And I said, you know what? Got an opportunity to get the lights up. Let's put the damn lights. I didn't put the decorations out, okay? Like, Santa's not out in the front yard right now. But there are some lights up. Not all of them, but some of them.
The important thing is that you know it's not entirely appropriate.
I know. Because
your reasoning is good.
One year, I got a Christmas tree way early. I was driving. It was before Thanksgiving. Got a Christmas tree, right? The place wasn't even open. I had to say to the guy, hey, I need to cut this down. Because I'm gone, right? I'm going covering these games. And I put it up on the car, and I was driving back to the house. And I passed by some people, and everyone's pointing at me. Look at that guy.
I was going to ask, when you put the lights up, do you also get the tree? But
no.
What if you have a fake tree?
You got to wait. Thanksgiving is the cutoff. You have to wait till after Thanksgiving. And in fact, if the lights weren't on a timer, nobody would have noticed them. But last night I came back from KGW and doing Sports Sunday. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm that guy. They're up in my neighborhood.
But unless you have, like, colored lights, then I feel like it's just kind of a seasonal thing. It's just like being festive for the season.
I'm being festive. You're now being enablers is what you guys are doing. Because I was really willing to go, you know what? It's a false start.
Hey, I don't like it. I get it. You're busy. You're going to be gone. I get it.
Here's what I like about Mario Cristobal. I was critical of his team on Saturday night. I wrote a column in which I said, they're really good, but they're not elite. Because what I was looking for against Arizona was this big statement game. Every opportunity they get to get seven, they get seven. They got inside the five on their second drive and got no points. Got to the 1 yard line and got no points on that drive. And in the end, what I really do think is going to happen, and we'll talk to Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix, about this later in the show. The committee is not evaluating Oregon against LSU. They're not evaluating Oregon against Ohio State. They're not evaluating Oregon against Clemson. They're comparing Oregon to the other teams that are trying to get that fourth spot. And so people are saying to me, well, LSU didn't look great. It doesn't matter. LSU doesn't have a loss. Oregon needs statements. It needs to outshine the other teams that are trying to get into that fourth spot. So I write this column in which I'm critical of them. And he reads it. He is aware of it. I get a text from him. You know, he's not entirely thrilled with it. He doesn't totally agree with it. But we have a really civil debate. I said to him, look, I think Oregon's going to be really scary good in like two seasons. Right now, they're just good to me. I think the defense is going to have scarier players. Andy Avalos is going to be around longer. I think the offense is going to be better. It'll be more evolved. Maybe they'll get a back in the backfield that is just dangerous. Not just adequate, but dangerous. I think the offensive line is blossoming. You can see the future on the offensive line. I think they're like 2 years away, two seasons away from winning it all. Okay? That's a compliment. I want to say they're elite right now, but I don't see elite on the field right now. I see Rose Bowl on the field. 503-417-7575 is the number. Tell me what you see when you look at Oregon. I would love to say that Oregon is an elite team. I'd love to say that it looks special on offense, special on defense. Man, they're special teams. Dial it up. They get in a close game. I really trust them. I'd love to say this is an elite team that I think is a no-brainer to make the playoff. It's not what I see. I see a really good or good team. Like really good or good. I'm talking B-plus version of a college football team, A-minus maybe, on their good days. I see a team that has a quarterback that could play in the NFL. I look at their defense. I don't see Clemson. I don't see LSU. I don't see Ohio State. I got to be real. I don't even see them being as good as Georgia. I think Oregon's good, but not great. And there's no shame in that. I think they're made for the Rose Bowl. I think they'd win. I think they'd beat Minnesota in the Rose Bowl. It would be a great season, something to build on. But I got some Duck fans that are mad at me for saying that. But that's not my job to make you happy. My job is to go to the games and go, all right, what do I see here? I don't see it. And I could be convinced otherwise in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, really, with the Pac-12 championship game. But I need to see a little more. I need to see sevens instead of threes. I need to see, and it has to be a statement, and I know this isn't healthy for college football. I don't love where college football has gone with this. Tua Tagovailoa gets hurt because Alabama's trying to make a statement. Should have been out of that game. But I see good but not great. What do you see? 503-417-7575 is the number. Roy is in Portland. Roy, what do you see?
Hey, John. I'm going to have to apologize to all the Ducks fans, man. I'm going to have to say I was wrong. I see Oregon going to the playoff, man.
What?
I'm sorry, man. I see them going to the playoff. I see them playing LSU against Oregon playoff.
What changed your mind? Because a week ago you were like, no, no. And now I've flipped.
Well, what changed my mind is Alabama cannot go. They cannot go. What Nick Saban did, in my opinion, was criminal against Tua. Because I think he and with these older coaches, John, I think we're probably around the same age. These older coaches, it never fails, man. When these coaches that have won championships over the years, they get deified. Be it Woody Hayes, be it Joe Paterno, they stay too long. They win a bunch of national championships, and then it becomes about their legacy and just winning the next national championship. And they don't care what coach they hire. The coach they can put on their staff, you could throw Urban Meyer in there, could be a monster. They don't care what's going on with the players. Bobby Bowden, get players with character not so good. As long as they win their next national championship, that's all they care about. They don't care about the players' health. I mean, this is my opinion, and it just seems like when it's these older coaches, man, it never ends well for them. Bear Bryant, I can go down the list. When they're older, they won a bunch of national championships. They stay too long. It's just it never ends well, man. They always do something towards the end of their career to make you question their character. And that's what I think we're at with Nick Saban. But
I don't think Alabama's getting in either. My concern is Georgia and LSU both getting in.
No, Georgia's I love my Bulldogs, but the only way we get in is we beat LSU. Now, if we beat LSU in the national championship, in the SEC championship game,
yep.
Oregon's not getting in because it'll be LSU yep. and then Georgia. But yep. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's behind you now is too weak. But this is contingent on Utah and Oregon staying undefeated going into that.
Yeah. And Oregon's got Utah's going to be a tough task for Oregon. Utah's a tough task for anybody. I also think we're going to talk to Jay Barr too, the College Football Matrix. I also think you got to worry about Oklahoma. The way that Oklahoma won, what does Oklahoma do down the stretch? I think if you are Oregon, you got to get. And that's why the style points matter to me. Bill's in Hillsboro. Bill, what do you see?
Hey, John. You know, you mentioned 2 years from now, you think they're going to be in the title, they win the thing. Well, my question to you is, what about next year?
Yeah.
You look at, they're losing, you know, an offensive line of 5-year starters, a quarterback, a 4-year starter. Wide receiver will be a little better, but who's going to throw to them? Running back position still up for grabs. If not this year, you're saying 2 years, but what about next year?
Yeah, I think I have the same problems, the same questions that you have about next year. Because that's why I'm not saying, hey, next year they're going to win it all. They're a year away. They don't feel a year away to me. I think 2 years from now, you're going to see a defense that is going to be scary. I think what this defense is right now, and I disagree with Mario Cristobal, Kayvon Thibodeau may play in the NFL. I agree with that. He's a young guy. I mean, he's got work to do. But the guys right now on that defense, I'm looking at Javon Holland and I'm going, okay, he's going to play, but who else is going to play? There are no shoe-in, sure-thing guys. And I think 2-3 years from now, there are going to be a line of guys. They're going to have so many guys drafted in the first and second round, it's going to make your head spin. What do you see when you look at Oregon? Mark's in Portland. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, of course, I got the counterpoint. First of all, with Roy, you know, I respect his opinion. Obviously, he follows college football, but all these coaches all through the last 100 years in college football, the system is telling you, you have to win a popularity contest. So once Alabama lost the SEC title, they're forced to win games by 45, 50 points, like you're talking about Oregon. They have to keep their starters in the game. The whole thing is ridiculous because they don't have a traditional playoff. And he brought up Penn State. I just want to say, Joe Paterno, this is why the system angers me so much. He had 4 undefeated seasons where he was not a national champion. Their team was undefeated in 68 and 69. They didn't lose a game, and they weren't declared national champions. How do you tell an undefeated, perfect team that they're not national champions? So the whole system forces you to keep your starters in and games are up by 4 or 5 touchdowns. It's absolutely ridiculous. In their system with 4 teams getting in 5 spots, if Georgia beats LSU, LSU should be out. Georgia should be in. Or the SEC choose whatever team they want. They could stick LSU in and screw Georgia. I don't care. But my conference champion deserves to control their own fate. Period, period, period.
Appreciate that call, Mark. Brings it strong. Let's go to Mike in Portland. Go ahead, Mike.
Say, John, first of all, Alabama played LSU, they advertised these two teams as heavyweights.
Yeah.
Oregon is not a heavyweight team. That's why when they schedule Oregon's football game, they put them on the graveyard shift because they're not there yet. They're not ready to be up in the top 4. And also, John, I want to tell you something. I haven't been able to watch a complete Oregon football game within the last 3 games because it's boring. They're playing bums. They're getting their reputation beaten up on bums. And the guys that come on the air talking about they should be in the playoffs, don't you know that these games are no more than a scrimmage? They're not playing competition. Matter of fact, the coach that they just got through playing said that all his guys was new at it. They were inexperienced. So Oregon other night beat up on an inexperienced team. And then today people want to come on and say they're ready to go play in the playoff. That's nonsense. And John, the thing that gets me about the people that call this show talking about football, these guys are drunk when they're watching this game, John. That's why the beer commercials and all of these people are advertising to these guys because they know they're alcoholics. And so they come on the air the next day and they try to give a clear, coherent diagnosis of a football game that they were watching when they was drunk. That's nonsense. I'll talk to you later, John.
Mike in Portland telling you to sober up. What do you see when you see the Oregon Ducks? I agree with one of his points that Oregon, until it plays Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, will not have a chance to win a game against a ranked team. They're not going to get one between now and then. They haven't had one to this point of the season. That's it. They have to be.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.